Well, the scripture is actually Mark 7:24 through 37. Between Pastor Stephen and I, something happened in either the transmission or the reception of the message, since he was scrambling around to find someone to preach on short notice. I'll take the blame, even if it wasn't my fault. Mark chapter 7, Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and didn't want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First, let the children eat all they want, he told her, for it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she replied, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on the man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he sped and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which means be open. At this, the man's ears were open, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well. He makes even the deaf hear and the mute speak. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You're not Presbyterians or United Church of Christ, so you probably don't know that response. And I would add it's just as well. But some of you don't know me, so you won't just think I've sprung up from a pumpkin patch somewhere. I'll tell you a little about me. From 1999 to 2008, I was the pastor at University Baptist in Carbondale, and that's where I got to know Stephen when he was pastor at First Baptist. Since then, I have backslid and joined the United Church of Christ and got staying in that denomination and become an interim minister. So the last several years, I've had four interim pastorates in UCC and also Presbyterian churches. My most previous pastor was at the First Presbyterian Church in Shelbyville, Illinois, up in central Illinois. In fact, I just finished up there in August. I live in Carbondale. My wife's name is Linda Benz. Foskey. She's not with me this morning because we've been traveling a good bit lately and she's kind of tired. She is getting a little bit of chemotherapy for some cancer that's not terribly aggressive, but it just keeps trying to come back. And you beat it back and it comes back. So it's kind of like a chronic disease. So she's not terribly sick, but she just had it Friday and she's just trying to rest. It takes her 2 or 3 days to kind of get her energy back. But otherwise, she's doing well, but you all could pray for her if you'd like.
Amen.
I got this. And probably we've all heard that phrase, I got this. Some people say that when they're terribly confident that they can do a certain thing. You don't hear me say that a whole lot when it comes to mechanical things around the house. Linda fixes the toilets, not me. I'm the expert on science fiction and fantasy. That's about all I'm good for, and that and maybe a little bit of the Bible. But I remember a few years ago, there was a presidential campaign, and I think there was a poster with the presidential candidate listing some of the problems, which are the same problems we have now, of course, economic issues, war, our own immigration issues and whatever, and had a picture of the candidate, and the caption said, I got this, saying, if you elect me, I can handle these issues. And unfortunately, we're now being inflicted with another presidential campaign. I'm really looking forward to the next 2 years, as I'm sure you all are. My spirit is probably not in the best mood this morning because my wife was watching Face the Nation before I left. But it's one of those things we have to deal with in a democracy, isn't that right? Well, I suspect, that Jesus probably never actually said, "I got this," because Jesus wasn't cocky like that. But we know that from the scriptures, whatever situation came before him, he got it. he handled it. I used to know a deacon at Baptist Church in Georgia said he'd been to handling school. Jesus had been to handling school. He knew how to handle things. But it, like I said, it wasn't with that, I'm on the scene now, all your problems were over. Jesus, thank goodness, was not a politician. You noticed in the text for today, we have the story of the Syrophoenician woman, and you have the story of the healing of the deaf man. Now, in both situations, Jesus could or did, in essence, say to the people who were asking for his help, "I got this." Mm-hmm. But it came about in very different ways, his getting this, his getting of their problems. And I think that's very very instructive for us, as we have individual circumstances and we all have our own individual issues that we bring to Jesus. I would like to suggest, in fact, I would not like to suggest it, I will suggest, that we look at these requests, the request of the Syrophoenician woman for her demon-possessed daughter and the request of the friends of the deaf man for his healing as prayer requests. They came to Jesus asking him for something. Isn't that the essence of prayer? So in their case, Jesus was physically in their midst. In our case, we believe Jesus is on the right hand of the Father in heaven, but they were praying. And so I think this has these texts have a lot to say about the nature of prayer and what it's like. So as we think about "I got this" in this context, let's think about how Jesus answers, or in some cases does not. Well, no, I won't say doesn't answer prayer, but sometimes Jesus says no.
That's right. Amen.
Which is an answer. It's not the answer we want to hear. It's not the answer we want to hear. But then, as the great theologian Garth Brooks said one time, sometimes God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. I grew up when Smokey and the Bandit was popular. You know, but I am so glad I didn't get a Trans Am, because I probably wouldn't have been here today. I mean, I wrecked a Datsun, you know. I drove a Datsun at high speeds on back roads in Georgia. I didn't need a Trans Am. It would have killed me. So that was a prayer that was answered no, and God knew what God was doing. But two different situations. Now, a little background, Jesus is traveling. The commentators think that Jesus was traveling through Tyre and Sidon on the coast, the Mediterranean coast of the general area of Palestine there, and then he goes across the southern part of this Gentile area and crosses into the Decapolis, the 10 Gentile cities. It was a league of cities, which is like east of Galilee. He was trying to skirt Galilee because he had already riled up Herod Antipas. Jesus was not the king of Galilee's favorite person at this time. And also, he had just fed the 5,000. And of course, as it says in John's gospel, perhaps even more clearly, everybody wanted to follow Jesus because he had given them bread. They had gotten something from Jesus, and so they wanted to follow him. Now, keep in mind that Jesus had a group of disciples that he was still trying to train. In John's gospel, it looks like Jesus' ministry lasted about 3 years. In the synoptic gospels, that is Matthew, Mark, and John, it looks like it only lasted about a year. Jesus knew that his life was going to be short, and he had to get these guys trained. 3 years is about the amount of time it takes to get a seminary MDiv, okay? So even if we take John's chronology, that was 3 years, Jesus had a short amount of time to train these guys to do the work of worldwide evangelism after he was gone. That's a big, heavy task. And he was pressed with so many needs that he had to have some time to get away. And plus, he was afraid the people of Galilee, after they'd seen him, you know, do the thing with the bread, were going to make him king. And that wasn't what needed to happen, not at that time. And plus, I have never been to the Mediterranean, but I've seen the Atlantic, and I've seen Wren Lake, and I've seen Crab Orchard, and I bet it was really pretty. You know, I mean, you know, long stretches of beach, you know, it's a perfect place for a retreat. And so Jesus was human. He needed rest and R&R just like all of us. So he kind of like says to the disciples, okay, let's go to the beach, let's relax, and we'll have Bible studies on the beach and campfires and make s'mores, you know, and stuff like that. I don't know about the s'mores. That's not in the Bible. Don't look for it, please. Don't tell Stephen. Sam said there's s'mores in the Bible. I didn't say that, so, you know, don't tell him that. You know, just don't. Resist that impulse. But as soon as he gets there, he thinks he's found a little isolated cottage somewhere on the beach. No one knows where he is. Maybe he came in wearing a ball cap and, you know, dark sunglasses, you know, to get away from the paparazzi. And sure enough, this woman comes knocking on his door, and she has a need. And Jesus' response to her need is not initially, I got this. It's more like, go away. I mean, I know we want to minimize the harshness of Jesus' response where he says we don't take the food of the children and give it to dogs, but we have to deal with the text as it is. Jesus was human. Divine, yes, 100% human, 100% divine, but he was human. And we have to allow Jesus occasionally to be cranky. You know, if we read later, in just a few passages, we're going to see where he's so upset with the disciples. It's like he's trying to teach them a lesson. It's like, I've been with you so long and you still don't get it. You know, we have to allow Jesus the humanity of occasionally being cranky and irritated. He wasn't entire necessarily to heal. He was there to retreat, to pray, to be with his guys. This woman comes in, and he can't ignore her. There's been a lot of discussion over the years as to what Jesus really meant by saying we can't take the children's food and give it to the dogs. Some people say, well, it wasn't that harsh because the word means like little puppy dogs and not the feral dogs that run in the street. But, you know, I think if somebody called me a dog, it wouldn't matter to me if he was saying, you know, well, I don't mean a feral dog. I mean like a Bichon Frise or something like that. That's what I'm calling you. I mean, you're still calling me a dog. Okay. So what's the history here? Why would he say that? Well, I mean, this was primarily his mission, the lost sheep of Israel. That was his priority in his earthly mission. So we know that. And so what he's telling her is, you are not my primary mission. Notice he didn't say, I won't heal your daughter. He didn't say that. He just says, you are not my primary mission. I see this request as a distraction. The people of Tyre and Sidon were pagans. They were idolaters. They were of the Greek culture. They were Gentiles. The Gentiles and Jews hated each other at this time. Also, we know particularly from the Old Testament, Tyre was a very wealthy region. Galilee was a very poor region. And the poor people of Galilee did the work to support a lot of the wealthy people in Tyre and Sidon. So this, in a way, would be like somebody driving a limousine to a homeless shelter and says, okay, I want you to make all the homeless people wait while you feed me. Okay? So who knows? I don't know why exactly Jesus, I got this, was different for the woman than it was for the deaf man. But for some reason, it was. For some reason, he made her jump through a hoop, and she jumped successfully. She was humble enough to allow him to say, yes, I am a dog, but I'm a dog whose daughter is hurting. And so she humbled herself and accepted Jesus' designation of her so she could receive the grace that she wanted. She didn't come to Jesus in demand, even if she may have been wealthy, affluent, or whatever. She came to Jesus in humility, and eventually Jesus told her, I got this. Go home. Your daughter is well. Then you have the deaf man. Jesus doesn't make him jump through hoops at all. Well, for one reason, he can't ask the deaf man questions because he's like deaf, you know, and they hadn't invented ASL back then. But Jesus doesn't ask any questions of the people that were making this request on behalf of the deaf man either. They don't have to jump through hoops. Why? We don't know. All we know is that the deaf man's individual circumstances were different than those of the Syrophoenician woman, but Jesus' response was the same. I got this. And so he pokes his fingers in his ears and puts spittle in his ears. And he's healed. And we wonder, why does Jesus do all these weird things? Well, those were some of the practices that were common to healers of Jesus' day. Jesus couldn't speak to this man, so he engages in some of the common practices that healers engaged in. He touched him so that the man would know that he was going to be healed. If this had been today, Jesus may have taken out a stethoscope and listened to his ears, listened to his respiration, checked his vital signs. Jesus was doing what was expected of a healer, but then what happened was unexpected because the deaf were made to hear. And so when demons were cast out, and the deaf were made to hear, the people knew that something messianic was going on in their midst, because in Isaiah chapter 35, Isaiah says, then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Waters will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. And some of you probably have the devotional book called Streams in the Desert. Well, if you do, that's the verse where it comes from, okay? So you've at least learned that today, if nothing else. Unless you already knew it, and therefore you haven't learned it, but you've certainly had it reinforced. So, one woman jumps through hoops, She's kind of grilled by Jesus, but eventually Jesus says, I got this. The other man, Jesus, doesn't really put up a fight, doesn't ask any questions, just does what is expected of a healer, and miraculously he's healed. Jesus got this. And so the people begin to realize that something messianic is going on. Something special is going on. When the blind get their sight and the deaf begin to hear and the demonic is repelled from people's lives, these were signs of the coming of the Messiah that the Jews had been expecting for centuries. They knew something was special. But that message couldn't go out yet because Jesus hadn't been resurrected. And until he was resurrected, no one had the whole picture of exactly who Jesus was. So he says, shh, don't tell anyone. They're not going to understand. They're not going to get it all. And we know the disciples didn't really get it until after the resurrection. So that's why he said, shh. But it was so exciting. Jesus couldn't stop people's mouths. You see, the deaf man wasn't the only one whose tongue was loosed. The tongues of all who had seen Jesus do these marvelous things were unloosed, and they couldn't been shut. They couldn't have been shut up because Jesus had got it. He had gotten them. He had gotten their problems, and he had gotten their issues. And I would say Jesus has got this, even when the answer is no. Some people aren't healed. Some people die. Some people are paralyzed. Some people are terribly lonely. Some people live all their lives without a partner. Some people cry themselves to sleep at night. Some people live in areas of war and violence, and it never gets better. Bad things do happen to good people. So how can we say that Jesus has got this then? When the tears won't stop and the pain won't stop. If anybody says they have a really good answer for that, I would be suspicious of that response. Yeah, I've got a good glib pat answer for that. I don't have a good glib pat answer for that. But sometimes in the middle of the night, in the middle of those tears, you get, just for a few moments, a sense that everything is going to be okay. You may not see how this is going to work out. You may not see how this is going to work to my glory, but everything is going to be okay. Some days when you feel you don't have the strength to get out of bed, you suddenly find enough energy to do so and to put one foot in front of the other. Sometimes when you think you can't go any further, you get a call and someone says, I called because I was thinking of you. And that is Jesus saying in the dark night of the soul, I still got this. I said no, but I still got this. And I think this text shows us that whether we are Jew or Gentile, whether we're deaf or hearing, or to briefly mix politics with religion, whether we're Democrat, Republican, Independent, straight, gay, black, white, Syrian refugee, European, wealthy, poor, hungry, or well-fed, for all of us, Jesus says, I got this. And when we know that Jesus has got this, we can say with the people of his day, he doeth everything well.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.